It's time to go beyond happy and to live joyfully. This is Lessons in Joyful Living with Kimberly Rinaldi, the founder and owner of the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. Having created a highly successful coaching practice, Kimberly now teaches lessons in joyful living. She believes in empowering others and that through it, you have the ability to break through any and all barriers. What used to take weeks, months, or even years, she can now show you within a matter of hours with her programs. Kimberly can help you achieve your highest potential and move towards your sole purpose. And she provides you with tools that you can carry with you for a lifetime. This is Lessons in Joyful Living on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. And now, our founder and your host, Kimberly Rinaldi.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome. And today is Tuesday, June 23rd, 2015. Gorgeous morning in Southern California where I am. I hope you're having a lovely morning where you are. My name is Kimberly Rinaldi and I am bringing you Lessons in Joyful Living on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network today. And I have to say, you may or may not hear it in my voice, but I'm a little tuckered. We were at an event this weekend. I'm still paying for it. I'm over 40. I can do this. We did a paranormal investigation in San Diego, Star of India on Friday night, the Berkeley on Saturday night with guests Mark and Debbie Constantino and co-founder of Into the Light Paranormal, Kitty Janice, and myself. And I have to say, being up until 5 in the morning two nights in a row, I'm still a little loopy. This is like a two-day hangover. And no, I didn't have alcohol. It was just I'm not used to being up like that. And when I do have bouts of insomnia that I am up like that, I'm able to recover. I don't have to go out and perform the next night again. So it was interesting. We had a really good time, had some great experiences on both of the vessels, and got to enjoy San Diego and bop around like tourists on Thursday and then again on Sunday. And then came home. So that's what's going on in my world. This weekend I'm off to Pasadena for a two-day event again. This one is not mine, but I am participating and helping out. And it's Dr. Helena Popovic, and she's been a guest on our show a good handful of times. And she is the author of Living the Light Way. I'm sorry. And she as a medical doctor has found that the issues behind weight are not what you put in your mouth, but why you put things in your mouth. Not what you're eating, but why you're eating. We're looking at weight, and I'm not going to say loss, but at weight in a different perspective. We're looking at the thought process behind what you're doing that leads to overweight. And she's got some great works that she's been doing in New Zealand, Australia, where she's from. She's out for a few weeks and put this event together at the Pasadena Hilton. You can go to winningatslimming.com for more information and to get tickets. But I'll be there, and I will be, as I said, I'll be participating, and I'll be hanging out, and I'll be helping out. And I'm looking forward to that. Helena, Dr. Popovic is a dear friend and just a brilliant, brilliant author, as well as just an amazing human being. So check that out. I'm looking at the fact that we are officially into summer. Solstice was this weekend, and I like to slow down during the summer. I say that every year, and then I find that I say yes to way too many things. Not that I don't enjoy what I do, but as an introvert, I tell people I can't imagine doing it in the first place. And then when I find I'm there, I'm having a great time. So I got a lot going on in the next few weeks, and I'm trying to find some time to get away and relax. And I hope you're all getting that opportunity too this summer. I can't believe 4th of July is coming up right around the corner. Our street, 20 years or more has been doing, a block party, where, you know, everybody kind of gets together and barbecues, and they used to do furniture races. I don't know if they're doing them again this year, but it was, you had to have something in your home or yard, and it had to have braking, steering, and you had to wear a helmet, and we're on a good hill. we've seen some horrific accidents that led to the requirements that you had to have steering and braking and helmets, because when it initially started, those weren't rules. But it's been loads of fun. They've raced washing machines, and somebody raced a coffin once, and, you know, lawn chairs, and they put wheels on anything around here if it's been sitting around long enough. So it'll be interesting. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. I hope you're getting your summer vacation on, too. So that's what's going on in my world. I'm sitting here looking at my desk. There are a million things that I want to get done, and I find that the more I've got to do, the more that fills those time slots, and that is life. That is so much of everything, and then it becomes a matter of priorities. And, you know, when it comes down to it, you've got to stop and look at, you know, do I get pleasure out of this? Am I enjoying this? Does it serve a purpose, or am I obligated? Is this a have to versus a get to? Is this something that I want to do? Is this something that's going to give me a benefit somewhere in my life? And at 48 years old, going on 49, I have become so discerning. It's like, you know, yeah, I'm good at saying no to things. I'm good at saying, yeah, not again to things that I find that didn't work for me. But one of the things that has been consistent is the desire and the drive to share what I do. And in doing that, I connect with so many other people who have this drive, this desire, this direction. And that actually brings me to today's guest. And we have, he's a former professional actor and medieval knight turned writer, motivational speaker, personal development coach. And I have been a guest in his programming. He's the creator of the transformational program, The Art of Forgetting, as well as the podcast Consciously Speaking. Today we have Mr. Michael Neely joining us. And I know Michael is same as I am, same direction, same drive, out there helping others by sharing what he does. So I want to welcome to the show Michael Neely. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Kimberly. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for joining me this morning. There's more that I want to share about you, but before we even start, I want to talk about, because drive is a big thing in my world at this point, it's something that I'm focusing on making changes. September comes up, I start looking at what am I doing next year. What was the driver for you to step out, do Consciously Speaking? Because like me, you're doing more than one show a week. Unlike me, you're doing seven. I drew the line at five, but you're doing seven shows a week. That's one hell of a drive, Michael.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And, you know, what's interesting is I was hearing you mention, Kimberly, about having a late night just last few. I just got a computer virus, and so I was up until about 4 in the morning not having I was just working hard, feverishly, to get today's episode out. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and we rely on technology, and when it works, it's great, and when it doesn't, I want to go live in a cave.
Yeah, I'm with you. I live in a cave next door.
Yeah, exactly. So when you decided to launch Consciously Speaking, was the original plan for 7 days?
No, actually, it was very strange. When I first launched it, and by the way, I didn't even know what a podcast was 2 weeks before I launched. Had told me, you know, hey, you should start a podcast. And I had heard the word, and so I was like, well, what is that exactly? Within 2 weeks, I launched my first podcast, and it was Consciously Speaking in its first iteration. It was just once a week or even 9 days. And then I started to get really good feedback from the listeners. It started to find an audience, and people were saying, well, you know, my friends, my tribe were saying, Michael, I think you found your genius.
Yeah.
And I really loved what I was doing and the results that it was getting. So I had people contact me saying, Michael, what the guest said today really changed my life. And so when you hear something like that, I mean, what amazing inspiration to take it bigger. And so I shut down that show for about a month as I prepped to relaunch it on a 7-day-a-week format. So I went from, you know, just a little bit of a hobby to a 70-hour-a-week job.
You know, and that is, it's so funny because I same thing. I launched as a one-day-a-week platform. I didn't shut it down. I just started immediately looking at how can we turn this to 5 days. And then, well, then I launched the network. Because for me, how can you make this bigger? How can you share on a larger platform, especially when you're hearing this is making a difference in other people's lives? I mean, how do you not step out? That's the lesson in joyful living in my world. I love that. We are we're going to talk a little bit about consciousness today, intention, direction, a lot of other things. But today we have joining us Michael Neely, and Michael's appeared in feature films with Mel Gibson, Kevin Costner, worked the stage with Andre, is it Brofner?
Brower.
I'm terrible without my glasses today.
Oh,
I should probably grab them.
It's not spelled like it's
said. And there we go. And he's had recurring roles in several popular soap operas. His studies in character development took place both on and off camera and ultimately fueled his desire to pursue personal development and conscious training as a profession. So join us back in just a few moments as we're speaking with Michael, and we're going to talk about consciously speaking. But I want to also sort of just, you know, drop the hint that we're going to talk about a book that's coming out. There's some other stuff we're going to share, all kinds of nifty things. So join us back in just a few moments after the break. If you haven't already joined me, go to KimberlyRinaldi.com. You can sign up for my VIP newsletter, find out where I am, what I'm doing, when I'm doing it, and we'd love to have you join us there. If you're in the U.S. or Canada, you can text LIJL to 22828. You're going to get copies of my Deeper Meditation MP3 as well as some other great bonuses that we throw in there. We're always changing them up. We have some interesting events coming up in the next few months. Oh, I know what I have coming up. We're doing life success training next month, actually, in about 20 days. It's a wonderful opportunity to train with me and find out how to communicate better, how to improve sales if you're in sales. We used to call it a certification program. Yes, you're certified at the end, but it is about life success, and you become proficient in things like conversational hypnosis, neurolinguistic programming, communication styles. It's a fantastic tool to help you improve your communication with the people around you, just in your life and maybe in your business. So join us there. But join me back here in just a few moments as we continue speaking with Michael Neely.
Having overcome tremendous obstacles herself, she believes happiness is overrated. She calls upon you to live joyfully. This is Lessons in Joyful Living, and Kimberly will be right back after these on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Have you heard? The pages of American Patchwork and Quilting magazine come to life on our new weekly online radio show, American Patchwork and Quilting. Join Pat Sloan, our blogging and quilt designer host, as she talks about the latest trends, ideas, and inspirations. Her guests include quilt pattern designers, authors, quilt shop owners, and our editors. All quilters, just like you. Call in with your questions. Get quilting tips from industry experts. Learn about free patterns. Hear behind-the-scenes stories from our magazines, American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilt Sampler, and Quilts and More. Get the scoop on free stuff and find out more about the best independent quilt shops in North America. To listen to a live show, tune in Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Just log on to allpeoplequilt.com/radio. To hear past shows, go to iTunes and search for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We hope you'll join us because we know that quilting changes everything.
Homeschooling? Have questions? Get your pen and paper ready. It's the sociable homeschooler, Vivian McNinney. Fridays at 5, 4 Central on TogiNet.com. After a handsome blue-eyed Texan fell in love with Vivian at the Victoria Station in London, she found herself at DFW Airport with a tiny suitcase and a snazzy little duffel bag. Well, 25 years later, she is now happily married to that blue-eyed cowboy. They have 4 grown children, ages 24 to 18, who became willing guinea pigs when she unwittingly stumbled upon the world of homeschooling. Wildflower Academy flourished for 15 years. They survived and thrived, and you can too. Vivian will be covering a wide range of issues that face homeschoolers. What do you do with kids in the summer? How to set up your one-room schoolhouse? How obedience is paramount? And what to do with those snakes? Plus, you'll be sharing ideas and insights that she gleaned from other homeschoolers. So join us for an engaging hour with a sociable homeschooler, Vivian McNinney. Friday afternoons at 5, 4 Central on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to Lessons in Joyful Living, teaching you how to truly stand in a place of peace, joy, and abundance, and know that it's calling for each and every one of us. This is what drives Kimberly to live what she teaches and to share her success and passion for helping others to help themselves. So let's get back to the show. This is Lessons in Joyful Living on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. And now, here again is our founder and your host, Kimberly Rinaldi.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome back. And today we have joining us the host of Consciously Speaking, and Michael is a student of Buddhism, sits on the board of directors at Insight Santa Cruz. His contemplative practices form a great part of the foundation of his works and even inspired him to create Consciously Speaking, where meditation, awareness, conscious living are made simple and available to everyone. You know, Michael, I'm really curious. In doing this, it's really interesting because I've watched, I want to say, over the last 30 years or so, I don't want to say a hierarchy, but almost there was an us than them mentality even within conscious living people. It was like, you know, you were either part of the world or you were part of them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And I've watched that shift over, I would say, even the last 10 years, where, you know, you don't have to go sit on a mountain and give up all your worldly goods and live with a guru. You can have consciousness and, you know, still sit on the board of directors for, you know, whether it's a nonprofit or a big business. You can still have consciousness and be a part of the world and actually bring light to those that you encounter within that. Does that make sense? Second cup of coffee hasn't kicked in, but I know what I'm thinking. But am I making sense to you?
Yeah, you totally are, Kimberly, and that's actually one of the things that I teach when I guide meditations, is that it's one thing to, it's actually quite easy, I believe, to go off in a cave somewhere and sit quietly without the distractions. If you remove all the distractions of the world and then sit and meditate, it's going to be easier. But the challenge is to find peace and tranquility amidst the chaos. I even recommend to people, meditate in an airport. Meditate in the loudest, noisiest, craziest place you can be and practice quieting your mind amidst all the noise.
Yeah, wasn't it Yogananda Paramahansa who said, you know, when asked where the best place to meditate was, he said, like, Midtown Manhattan, because if you, you know, again, like, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, that's exactly it.
And there has been, and the word is elitism, is what I was trying to get to. The second cup of coffee will kick in. this elitist mentality. And I tell people, you know, if you've got somebody telling you there is only one way to meditate, it's their way, likely they are trying to sell you a program. Meditation, in my opinion, and for what it's worth, is the act of bringing your attention back to whatever your intention was. Does that make sense?
It does. And the other thing that I like to tell people as well is that there's no goal of meditation. So if someone comes and says, okay, I'm going to meditate for an hour until I become enlightened, or I'm going to meditate for an hour until I accomplish this, then you're defeating the purpose.
Yeah.
You know, it's really just about getting back to being present with what is in that moment, nothing else. Just be aware of what's going on.
Yeah, whether it's washing dishes, taking a walk, you know,
absolutely,
sitting and snuggling with a kitten, or chanting, or whatever. Yeah, and that's the beauty of it. And this elitist mentality, this you know, you have to buy into the 12 weeks at the ashram. we're seeing changes in that, and I'm loving the direction this is going.
Yeah, I do too. And that's one of the things I love about Insight Santa Cruz. And actually, just it's part of the larger organization of Insight Meditation Centers throughout the United States, which includes, of course, you know, probably the biggest, and I'm not sure if it's the founding one, but that is up at Spirit Rock Insight Meditation Center. So it's, they're not professing anything. They're not like, you know, shoving stuff down your throat. It's not I just love it that it's just open to anybody, any walks of life, anything. Just come and sit and, you know, be at peace.
Yeah. And what I love about it, and I was raised Catholic, very elitist, very us versus them. And I, one of the things, and I'm actually, I live in Whittier, which is right up or down the hill from Hacienda Heights, which has one of the largest Buddhist temples in the Western Hemisphere. So beautiful location. One of the things that I love so much about Buddhism, whether as a philosophy or a religion, is that it is so all-encompassing. It is so inclusive. It really is a beautiful concept. When did you find yourself aligned with that, or have you always been?
I haven't always been. I was also raised Catholic, so I you know, grew up with the big guilt thing going on. But,
fantastic.
Yeah. I know. And as I grew older, though, I started to just realize, you know, there's got to be more to this. I mean, I think Jesus was a great philosopher. You know, in my mind, I loved his teachings. I love his teachings. But there's more to it than what we're handed in the Bible, I believe. And so as I started to explore these questions for myself, the things I was hearing about Buddhism rang so true and resonated with me on such a deep level that I started to explore it more. And I also want to be very clear, too, is I don't consider Buddhism a religion. It's a philosophy for a way of life.
Yeah.
And so I don't approach it like there are certain Buddhist sects where it's very, you know, you go, you pray, you do the whole routine stuff. And to me, that's not what it's about. So for me, it's a philosophy for a way of life.
It gives you room to, and I did this for many years, I still felt very aligned with my Catholic upbringing. Because I'm a Catholic school graduate, we married in a Catholic church, Mr. Rinaldi goes to Mass every Sunday morning. There came a tipping point where I decided that I am more aligned with these philosophies, and I've let go. I still think Catholicism is a beautiful, tradition-rich faith.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like I'm bigger than any one religion can hold at this point.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So, I I'm more aligned with the Buddhist philosophies, and again, much more inclusive. And again, these are my opinions. So, as a Catholic, did you find, or do you consider yourself current Catholic, former Catholic?
I'm a recovering Catholic.
Oh, my God, you use the same term I do.
Yeah.
I've got 12 steps. I'm on them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so did you find any conflict when you were making this philosophical change in your spirit, in your mind, in your consciousness?
Not really. The only conflict that I have is occasionally I still have, you know, a lot of family members who are devout Christians, not so much heavily Catholic anymore, but still Christians. And so we occasionally have debates about stuff, but that's another story, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have fundamentalist Christian, and, yeah. No, really, pray for my immortal soul. I've earned it, but not for my beliefs, for my former behaviors.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, totally.
I love that, love that. So in coming to this, you know, and again, this goes back to consciousness. We're talking about how one changes their beliefs, and whether it's about limiting beliefs, whether it's about faith and philosophy, whether it's about do you like broccoli or not, so many people get stuck in the concept that, you know, and I'll use corporate speak for you here, and if you've ever worked in a corporation or do now, you'll understand we've always done it this way. So many people get stuck in that concept. The concept of changing their mind is so far removed. How do you recommend that somebody look at this, understanding that if you can simply change your mind, you can change your beliefs, you can change your behavior, you can change the world around you?
Yeah. Well, I work at it with, you know, clients that come to me for finding a way out of a hole they may be in, or even just if they're doing great but they still want to take it to the next level, typically I find that they have some core beliefs that aren't really serving them. And when you dig deep into those, one of the things that I like to do is have them script out their story, you know, mm-hmm. write it as though they were writing a screenplay or a novel. And when you start to see that, you can start to see, okay, well, this is factual. Oh, this is made up. This is factual. Yeah. This is made up. And so you get them to start to look at the parts that they made up about how things were. And then once you get them to realize that, then the next step is to find, you know, just really challenge someone. Is it working for you? You know, is it holding value still, or is it holding you back? This belief that you've created over fiction, quite honestly, most of it, you know, we base things on is fiction. And as a prime example, we do this as a society, as a world as whole. I mean, we still say the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. But we know now that that's not true. We used to believe it was true, but we know it's not, and we still hang on to that language of it. And in that particular case, yeah, sure, maybe the language serves us, but we hang on to so many other things, even within ourselves, that we know are not true, but they're so ingrained, it's in our language even.
And that, then it becomes group consciousness. Which, when we come back, because I want to go into that when we come back. We're going into our next break. When we return, we're speaking with Michael Neely, host of Consciously Speaking, and author of the soon-to-be-released book, The Art of Forgetting. It's an essential element for anyone about to embark on or already on a path of personal growth and discovery. So join us back in just a few moments.
Having overcome tremendous obstacles herself, she believes happiness is overrated. She calls upon you to live joyfully. This is Lessons in Joyful Living, and Kimberly will be right back after these on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Military Network Radio, Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, bringing you dynamic interviews each week and fresh information of value to improve your outlook, actions, and encourage each member of your family. From service members, wounded warriors, veterans, military spouses, caregivers, parents, and children, everyone serves, and together we can make a difference. You can find our show at our website, www.militarynetworkradio.com, and at toginetradio.com/Military Network Radio. Everyone serves, and together we make a difference.
Is there more living for you to do? Yes. Start living inspired. Be here for Living Inspired with Tricia Goyer, Thursday afternoons at 4, 3 p.m. Central on toginet.com. Tricia will dig deep into topics that matter most to women, inspiring women to make a change in their own lives and to make a difference in the world, and maybe even deep within their own hearts. Tricia is a wife, mom, speaker, family expert, and author of 24 books. For more information on Tricia and Living Inspired, go to her website, TriciaGoyer.com. That's TriciaGoyer.com. Tricia's vision is to be the voice of hope and possibility for women of all ages. Her intention is to serve ordinary women by encouraging extraordinary things with God's help. Tricia expresses real life, real hope for real women. Is there more living for you to do? Yes. Start living inspired. Living Inspired with Tricia Goyer. Thursday afternoons at 4, 3 p.m. Central on toginet.com.
Welcome back to Lessons in Joyful Living, teaching you how to truly stand in a place of peace, joy, and abundance, and know that it's calling for each and every one of us. This is what drives Kimberly to live what she teaches and to share her success and passion for helping others to help themselves. So let's get back to the show. This is Lessons in Joyful Living on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. And now, here again is our founder and your host, Kimberly Rinaldi.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome back. And today we're speaking with host of Consciously Speaking, author of the upcoming book, The Art of Forgetting, Mr. Michael Neely. And Michael, we were talking about group consciousness before we went into break, or I was saying I wanted to get to that conversation. There is so much in this world, and I truly believe roughly 8 billion people on this planet. Most of us are just trying to get from today to tomorrow, doing the best we can. I think you agree with me from the conversations we've had and from the works that I've read of yours, that one of the biggest problems that we have out there is this sense or feeling of lack or fear or not enough.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's a group consciousness. That is a collective consciousness, because it's not a truth, but enough people have bought into it that it keeps infecting others. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it totally is, and I call it a scarcity mentality. And we suffer it individually, we suffer it in a group setting, and we suffer it kind of even often as an entire country.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's very pervasive.
And I believe that honestly, today's media does sort of feed into that, whether it's news, whether it's TV, whether it's there's so much fear mongering going on that it feeds these mind viruses, idea viruses, if you will.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And one of the biggest scarcity issues for anybody, I mean, everybody thinks we don't have enough money,
right,
you know, to be happy or to be whatever. And of course, that's fed into by, you know, almost every marketing piece out there is like, well, here, we're going to save you money because it's coming from the fact that you don't have enough money to pay the normal price. So we're going to discount it. Or there's loans. Hey, you can't get it now. Get this credit card, you know, then you can have the things. And so it's all this part of this big machine that keeps us in that mentality.
So how would you recommend we change this thought process? What is the first thing that you would say? I mean, other than knock that shit off, because that's obvious. That's the easy way. What is the first thing that you would recommend that we do as a group, our listeners, you know, start?
Well, of course, as you know, any change, you know, starts at home. And so when I say home, I mean literally inside you, inside your thought patterns. And so you got to find out what that limiting belief is, and then the root. So as an example, if your belief is that, you know, you don't have enough money or you can't afford it, well, where did that start with you? I mean, often it comes to us from our childhood growing up. I know with my father, he always said, well, there's always too much month left at the end of my money. Or money doesn't grow on trees, or what do I look like, a bank? And so you got to get those root issues and figure out, okay, well, what did I grow up believing? And then start to get, you know, erase those thoughts again, you know, especially like, for instance, money doesn't grow on trees. Well, that's actually BS. I mean, money does grow on trees, almonds, pistachios, all the different nuts and fruit that we get from trees. That's all money. And the trees themselves are money. You know, the lumber industry is huge. So that's not true. It's just a crazy little thing that we made up, but it keeps us in that scarcity mentality. So first I would get rid of that belief system within yourself. And then, Kimberly, this is a thing that's so important. You talk about the community and the larger aspect of the beliefs. You then have to start to shift what other people around you believe, at least about you. Because once you do that, it allows you to show up in a new way in their world. And by that I mean, so if everybody thinks you're the poor kid on the block and everybody holds you in that space, it's going to be harder to break out of it. You've got to shift their way of thinking around that too.
Right,
that makes
right.
sense?
It does, absolutely. And you keyed on something that's interesting, because Mr. Rinaldi and I do intentions together daily,
mm-hmm.
when we can, at least once a week if we can't get to it daily, because both of us travel and, you know, sometimes it's just hard to do things when you have a scheduled time. But one of the things that I am really clear on, one of my intentions is that I intend that I am happy, that Mr. Rinaldi and I are happy, healthy, and whole, and that we see ourselves in that light, and that we are an example to those whose lives we touch of that truth. I also hold that intention for abundance, because honestly, we are a contained system on this planet, and there has always been enough. It just may not be in the, we're talking global warming, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, ice caps are melting. Well, now we have more water on the planet. So, you know, you can't destroy energy. It just changes form. It's an enclosed system. So there's always been enough. This planet, we just look at things differently, and you have to change the energy around that. So
absolutely.
I love that you bring that to point. When did you decide that it all started out in your own head?
Well, it was interesting for me in my late teens, and then into my early 30s, I got caught up in a string of bad relationships. And by that, I mean, basically, I started out in high school. I had a girlfriend who cheated on me. Mm-hmm. And then later, it was my first wife, and then another girlfriend. And, after a string of relationships where women were cheating on me, I really began to wonder, WTF,
Oh, you can say it on the show. I'm good, yeah.
Oh, I can. Okay, excellent. So I was wondering, what the fuck? Why are all these women cheating on me? And so the story I created for myself was, women are cheaters.
Of course you did.
When you move through the world, yeah. And when you believe that, guess what's going to happen? You're just going to keep attracting more women who cheat, or worse, you're going to create the perfect scenario for whoever your partner is to cheat on you. You actually can help to manifest that.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what happened.
It's white Lexus syndrome. I laugh about this, and whether you believe in law of attraction, whether you believe in mind science, whatever it is you believe in, I did not notice white Lexi until I got one, and now I'm convinced everybody has one.
And then you notice them everywhere. Right. That's what happens. And so I started to look at it more deeply, and I realized after pondering this more and sitting in my misery, hey, wait a minute. The only common denominator in all of these relationships was me. And so I started to look at myself. And that's when I realized, I got to go to work on my story and change my thinking. The problem's happening over here, not out there.
Yeah.
And so that's when I set about changing it and then putting all this stuff together in a way that I could help other people change too.
You know what? And I love that. Putting it in a way that could help other people change too. Again, the lesson in joyful living. It's 50% of it is finding what you're here for. The other 50% is turning around and sharing it with the world. So
I agree.
That's part of what I wanted to talk about next, actually. So perfect segue. The book, which is coming out fall. I want to make sure I'm right on this. Fall this year?
Yeah. November 6th.
Fantastic. The Art of Forgetting. So.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I love the name of
it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a,
thank you.
Sure.
I appreciate that. Well, I call it the art of forgetting because it's not about forgetting everything, of course. I mean, you don't want to forget birthdays or your anniversary, God forbid,
my wife would
kill me.
Yeah.
Or to wear pants. Yeah, you got to remember certain things. But we've become so programmed to remember everything. And part of the challenge is that we started remembering things that change. It's one thing to remember a fire will burn you. Hey, you know what? Fire's always going to burn you if you stick your hand in it. That's not going to change that I know of.
Right.
But forget the things that do change. We hold people in place of believing they're always going to be that way, and that's not true. And so it's better to just say, hey, I'm going to let Kimberly show up today the way Kimberly shows up. I don't care, what her past has been. Today she's going to show up whatever way she shows up. And so the Art of Forgetting is a series of practices to uproot those things that are keeping you showing up a certain way that you're not happy about, and then, kind of make the shift. Start to actually practice being whatever you want to be in the moment. And Kimberly, I'm going to give you a practice, and any listeners right now who want to try this today, the next time you brush your teeth or eat, we'll probably eat next before we brush your teeth even, eat with the opposite hand that you normally do. So if you normally your fork's in your left, put it in your right. And notice the difference. Notice that you now have to re-engage your mind, something that we've gotten so good at automating, now we have to think about again. Or similarly, when you brush your teeth, your attention gets drawn back to it. And so that's the whole part of the workshop piece of the Art of Forgetting, is to bring our attention back to the things that we do on autopilot so that we can start to really bring our awareness to them and not function in a repetitive way that we have been.
And I love that. And I can only see this being absolutely, I mean, gosh, how many marriage counselors would this put out of business if we all did this? Think about it.
Yeah.
It can only improve relationships, is what I'm thinking.
Right.
Right. Imagine rolling over in the morning when you wake up and looking at Mr. Rinaldi and saying to him, "Do I know you?" And the challenge is really meaning it, and they get to know him new every day. I mean, think about the excitement of that, and the opening it provides for both of you, for the person who's giving you that space to just show up however you're going to be, and then they get to experience you new every day. It keeps excitement in the relationship and possibility.
Yeah, and honestly, this brings to mind a circumstance 15 years ago where I had to catch myself about 3 months into a work relationship where I was responding to someone I had only met 3 months prior, and then it dawned on me what I was doing. They reminded me so much of someone else. Mm. I slipped into that mode with them, and it was unfair to both of us. I mean, and that was like a big eye opener because I really had to take a step back and think, this is not that person. And you did with your relationships. It was like all of a sudden it started funneling down to those behaviors because I kept setting them up for that direction.
Yeah.
So, the art of forgetting.
It's,
I love it.
So
we're going into our final break. When we come back, we're speaking with Michael Neely. We're talking about consciousness. We're talking about the art of forgetting. We're talking about the fact that if you can forget all of those little wrongs that maybe somebody else you think has heaped on you, you might give them another chance. And this doesn't talk about, you know, unhealthy relationships. We're talking about healthy relationships that need a helping hand. So think about this. Forget somebody today and start over with them the next time you see them. Join us in a moment.
She believes happiness is overrated. She calls upon you to live joyfully. This is Lessons in Joyful Living. And Kimberly will be right back after these on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
If you're ready for a big change in your work, your career, your happiness, your life, it's time for the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 Central on TogiNet.com. Marla believes that with the right mindset, anything is possible. Join us as successful life coach Marla Tabaka inspires you and her clients to explore, discover, and live your dreams by developing what she calls the Million Dollar Mindset. Marla will inspire you to take action on your dreams and reveal secrets to success that will help you realize your own unique power. Tune into the Million Dollar Mindset for heartwarming stories with Marla Tabaka. Learn tips and tricks to building a successful business and unlock the secrets to creating a happier, more balanced life through abundant thinking and attraction power. For more information on the Million Dollar Mindset, go to our website, MarlaTabaka.com. That's MarlaTabaka.com. It's the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
Have you heard? The pages of American Patchwork and Quilting magazine come to life on our new weekly online radio show, American Patchwork and Quilting. Join Pat Sloan, our blogging and quilt designer host, as she talks about the latest trends, ideas, and inspirations. Her guests include quilt pattern designers, authors, quilt shop owners, and our editors. All quilters, just like you. Call in with your questions. Get quilting tips from industry experts. Learn about free patterns. Hear behind-the-scenes stories from our magazines, American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilt Sampler, and Quilts and More. Get the scoop on free stuff and find out more about the best independent quilt shops in North America. To listen to a live show, tune in Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Just log on to allpeoplequilt.com/radio. To hear past shows, go to iTunes and search for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We hope you'll join us because we know that quilting changes everything.
Welcome back to Lessons in Joyful Living, teaching you how to truly stand in a place of peace, joy, and abundance, and know that it's calling for each and every one of us. This is what drives Kimberly to live what she teaches and to share her success and passion for helping others to help themselves. So let's get back to the show. This is Lessons in Joyful Living on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. And now, here again is our founder and your host, Kimberly Rinaldi.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome back. And my name is Kimberly Rinaldi and I am the host of Lessons in Joyful Living on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. I want to thank you for joining me today. It is a gorgeous day. And today we have Michael Neely. He is the host of Consciously Speaking and the author of the upcoming book, The Art of Forgetting. Michael, before I forget, I definitely would love to continue this conversation because this hour goes so quickly. Will you join us again?
Sure. I would be very happy to. I'm loving it.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. And then again, because, you know, I'm over 40 and I tend to forget things, so I better go down that road while I have it. Where are you going to be releasing the book? When it's November, where can our
November
listeners go
6th.
To find it?
Mm-hmm. Well, right now, I think I'm set up. I'm pretty sure it's set up. I'll have to check with my admin, but I believe it's set up to take pre-orders even if people want to pre-order and get an autographed copy. I think that's available on my website.
Beautiful.
And otherwise, it will, of course, be available on Amazon on November 6th. And I'll be running a big release event coming up to that, and especially because November 7th is my birthday, and I hope to be celebrating that day as a bestseller. So we'll see.
There you go.
Yeah.
And your website is michaelneely.com, so www.michaelneely.com. We'll have links up on our website as well. And they can find what you do there, and they're going to be able to find the pre-sale on the book. I have to ask, and I love asking authors this, what are the three books that have impacted you more than any others that you can just offhand think of?
Yeah, gosh, you know, there have been some really key ones, but one of the ones that I've loved that I've just read in the last couple of years was Eckhart Tolle's A New Earth.
Right.
I think it was phenomenal. I mean, I'd always liked Power of Now, but I think A New Earth took stuff to a new level. I love The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks.
Okay.
Another terrific book. And, gosh, a third book that really impacted me. Well, you know, something that's just really, it's weird. It's, you know, so much about consciousness. But then on the marketing side, I mean, I love Jeff Walker's Launch. It's actually a really good book, too, as far as, you know, just how to really, I'm using that in facilitating getting conscious and speaking out there in a bigger way.
Yeah.
Which I think
it's
important.
Yeah, there. You know what? There's. I want to say in the last 5 years, I've seen some great books. You want to shift over to, you know, from personal development to business development, platform, launch. There have been some great books released in the last 5 years that really help people get how to do it and why it's so important to do it.
Absolutely. I love Platform as well, Michael Hyatt's book. And then another one that I'm really enjoying so much, which you'd probably like as well, and that's Think Like a Rockstar. And what's cool is it shifts the marketing mentality of so many businesses look at their customers as just that. They're the customer instead of the fan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, rock stars don't have customers. They have fans. And so it really is about changing the mentality. And so I'm really digging that book as well.
Yeah. And that's, you know, in this conversation, would you say consciousness has come to sales and marketing at this point finally?
I think to a large degree. I mean, probably everybody by now has heard of conscious capitalism, which I'm really on board with that. And so many heart-centered businesses and entrepreneurs out there and doing like what we're doing. I mean, you know, we hope to make money at it. I mean, I, you know, with my show, working 70 hours a week, I dang well better make money at it to be able to keep bringing the show out and still pay my bills. But where it comes from, this level of consciousness, is that we're doing a business entrepreneurially that is serving the world, that is serving humanity in the process. And I think that's what's so cool about the shift that's going on.
You know, and that's and I think that comes back to what we were talking about in the first segment, where with that elitist mentality 30 years ago, and I'm not naming names, but I'm just saying, there was a belief that, you know, starving artists, there was a belief you couldn't be spiritual and be of this world. There was a belief that you couldn't, you know, if you were going to make money at this and do this as a business, then, you know, you weren't serving. And in my opinion, I spent 20 years in a corporate environment. I always had businesses going on the side. In my opinion, you're as a business, you have a responsibility to keep the lights on and the doors open because you serve no one if they're not.
Yeah. Yep.
So
I'm with you 100% there, Kimberly.
Yeah. I love that consciousness is catching up with that.
Yeah, it is. And what's interesting about what you just said as well is that there's still, though, the mentality, and this kind of ties it back to the whole piece of stories that we have and belief systems, is I know, and you probably do as well, so many heart-centered entrepreneurs that still have this underlying belief that, yeah. Oh, it's not good to make that much money. Oh, I should do this for free. And
right.
It's like you said, though, if they do that, then they're not going to serve the world in as big a way as they could, because they don't have the wherewithal to do it. They may have to
right.
shut down the place. They may not be able to reach a larger audience because they can't do any marketing, because they're not charging the money that they need to grow it. So,
yeah,
you know, I think it's a real balance that has to be worked towards.
Yeah, and honestly, I think, you know, again, books like Launch, books like Think Like a Rockstar, books like Platform, as well as, you know, entrepreneurs like yourself, and I'll include myself in that, we're out there standing
yeah.
up. We've got that soapbox out, and we're like, you know, seriously, you're called to a bigger game. Step in. Commit. Make it
yeah.
happen. Make it happen. You know, I love
yeah.
that. I absolutely love that. What would you say is, you know, let's talk about legacy while we've still got a few moments. What do you want people saying about you 20 years from now?
Gosh, 20 years from now, I hope they're still saying stuff in the present tense.
Right, let's start with that.
Such a good guy. Yeah, exactly. And then I hope that people are just saying, wow, Michael had an impact on my life. You know, what he shared, even if it's not my words, and this is the other piece about it for me, Kimberly,
yeah.
which I think is probably similar with you. It doesn't have to be my words that you hear that make an impact. But if I helped to get somebody's words out there to you, that
right.
you got to hear it and it made an impact, then that's every bit as important to me. And that's part of why I created Consciously Speaking, is to spread the word of all these, you know, wonderfully wise people, yourself included. I loved having you on the show.
Thank you.
Oh, and by the way, that was a very popular episode too. it's gotten really good ratings on my iTunes account. So, yeah, so that, just getting the word out there of anybody that can make an impact on your life. So if people said that about me, I'd be very happy.
You know, and I love that you brought that up. I'm gonna say something that not everybody wants to hear, but there really is nothing new on this planet. We bring our
right.
past and our distillation of it, and our expression of it to the masses. And you and
yeah.
I may be speaking the same, you know, the same factual information, but somebody's going to align with you because of something you say, or even just personality. And someone's
mm-hmm.
going to align with me, and someone else is going to align with someone else. And this is why, you know, this is why you and I don't worry about scarcity, because frankly, there's enough to go around. But in doing this and sharing other people's information, it's a greater impact in the world. And honestly, do you know who Lisa Williams is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So Lisa Williams, medium, psychic, I trained with her years and years ago. She was on my show a couple years ago. And she was one of the people who was instrumental in helping me step out to teach psychic and intuitive development. I was at one of her events, and somebody actually stood up, raised their hand, and said, aren't you afraid that by training all of us here as mediums, that this is going to perhaps put you out of work or create competition or blah, blah, blah? And she was so just succinctly sweet and clear about this. She stood up and she said, there are enough dead people to go around. I remember thinking, you know, when you come into it, that there is enough to go around, you share. You just openly
yeah.
share.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah,
plenty of dead people.
Yeah, there are plenty of dead people. There's enough to go around. And, you know, that's
yeah.
and I go into that with everything. There is enough to go around. And your work, Consciously Speaking, you are sharing so much out there. And, you know, again, 7 days a week, I applaud you. I really do.
Oh, thank you.
I drew the line at 5, and I love what you do, and I've gone back and listened to a good handful, and you're actually now on my regular listening list.
Yay.
Thank you. You're doing a great job, and I love that. I absolutely love that, and I look forward to our next conversation. Where do you see, consciously speaking 7 days a week, you're launching the book, where do you see, what's your next endeavor? Do you have one?
You're going to think I'm every bit as crazy as you, Kimberly. I'm actually looking at starting another 7 day a week podcast. And this one, I'll let the cat out of the bag. It's going to be a shorty. It's going to be, you know, like anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes of a daily podcast. And I'm going to call it The Daily Fix.
Okay.
And it will be just quick little tidbits of daily advice that people can put to use, you know, right now to work on for the day. Just little reminders and things to set you about to live in an open world of full of possibility. So
okay. Yeah, my eyes were bugging out of my head when you said that, and then you clarified. That's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Because when you said another one, I'm all, because you never want to sleep again. But 2 to 3 minutes.
Right, exactly.
It's beautiful. That's inspired. Truly, truly inspired.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Michael, our time is up. It has been an absolute pleasure. I have absolutely loved this time together, and I look forward to our next conversation.
Oh, me too, Kimberly. I've enjoyed it so much, and I really appreciate what you're up to in the world, and I appreciate you having me on the show, too. It's been an honor.
Thank you. Thank you. And I thank you all for listening, because honestly, we hit a record. I have to share this. We hit a record download day. We are going to be pulling in on 3 million downloads monthly. We hit a record of 74,000 downloads in one day, and those numbers are climbing. We're pushing for 100,000 a day by the end of this month, and it's because you guys are listening and you are sharing, and I appreciate each and every one of you and each and every one of my guests. So go out and do good things for you today. Put yourself in the center of your universe. That is what you're here for. There's nothing wrong with that. That is your purpose. When you find that, that's called a lesson in joyful living. Then it's your responsibility to share it, because that's the other half. Join me here tomorrow. I look forward to seeing you then.
Lessons in Joyful Living with Kimberly Rinaldi on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. Each week, Kimberly will be sharing from her 20-plus years in corporate and business development, decades of combined experience, to help you go past happy and to get to joyful living, to truly stand in a place of peace, joy, and abundance.